Well, how would you feel about daycare that would cost no more than $15 a day? The NDP is promising they'll bring in a national daycare program if they form the next government. The cost to taxpayers, about $5 billion.
Here in Halifax, a woman earning the median income is spending 40% of her income for one child in childcare. So you can imagine if you have two children in childcare, what that looks like. So we've been proposing something very concrete, which would be affordable, and we've defined affordable as being at most $15 a day. It would be a shared cost program, a little bit like Medicare. Here it would be a 60-40 split, 60% federal, 40% provincial. Not only is it a good idea for families, but if you actually run the numbers, and the Quebec analysis shows that for every dollar that you spend on the program, $1.75 comes back to the economy. And in the Quebec model, in the first 10 years, 70,000 women were able to reintegrate the workforce. That put a lot of money back in government coffers. It boosted the GDP of the province. So it's something we can't afford not to do.
Well, that's federal NDP leader Tom Mulcair speaking in Halifax. This is an idea that keeps coming back, but never quite makes it. So is it time? Are you willing to pay for a national child care program? Our lines are open now, and we want to hear from you on this. 1-800-565-1940 is the toll-free number. If you're in Halifax, call me at 902-420-9336, or you can tweet me at CBC Maritime Noon. And I have two guests today. Andrea Mrozek from the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada is with us. That's a research group that lobbies for what they call family-friendly policies. Hi to you, Andrea.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. We're also joined by Angela McEwen. She's a senior economist with the Canadian Labour Congress, and that organization represents various unions across Canada. Hello to you, Angela.
Hi, thanks for having me.
All right, so the question to our audience today, are you willing to pay for a national child care program? Maybe you can tell us what it would mean to you if daycare costs just $15 a day. How would that change your life? All right, Andrew, let me start with you. You're against this idea of a national daycare plan. Why would you be against daycare that costs just $15 a day and allowed thousands of people, many of them women, to get back into the workforce?
Yeah, good question. The first reason, I think, is it's inequitable. So what happens when the government pours money into one system is they're not able to give the funding to other types of family benefits. So people, whether or not they use the system, are paying for it. I'd be very, very wary of a politician, any politician of any party, who says we can't afford not to do something. We have the Quebec example, which both sides reference, but for my purposes here today, I'll talk about how the costs of that program have almost doubled and the quality of care for children remains low, according to a bunch of studies.
Okay, but there are lots of things that taxpayers pay for that are inequitable, even the monthly child care check. If you don't have children under the age of six, then it's of no benefit to you, yet that's coming out of your pocket. So why is this different?
So what we want is something that's equitable for families, those with children, so that all families with children would be free to make their choices about what they think is best. I actually believe that the national daycare type of program diminishes choices for families, and it's slightly coercive. It tells you you ought to do this one thing because it is now at a subsidized rate and it's lower cost. So sure, you're right, there are things that all taxpayers pay for. Single people without children don't benefit, but families we recognize raising children have a hard time and are doing a service for all of us. So we want something that would be fair for all families and accessible to all families, which we know from Quebec, when they have the provincial daycare program there, that those who need it most are less able to access it. That's something that studies have shown as well.
Okay, so you think this program is pushing families to choose daycare over staying at home with their children or using family care as an option?
Yeah, just a concrete example. If you're a shift worker, or if you work very hard to tag team it with your partner, this is not going to be of benefit to you. There's a number of different groups for whom a national daycare program would be of little to no use, and everybody's going to end up paying for it. And the question is, what else will not be done for families because we're putting all of our monies into a one-size-fits-all program?
All right, Angela McEwen, let's bring you in here. Those are the knocks against a national child care program. Do you believe that it is unfair in some ways to families who want other options or who don't have children and aren't interested in subsidizing daycare?
Well, I think Andrea's completely right. We need to learn from the Quebec example. And some of the points that she makes are completely valid. For example, the indications of quality. So in Quebec, in order to get enough spaces in place, there was a huge increase in the number of for-profit, huge big box providers. And at the beginning, parents with more resources were better able to find spots in those centers for their kids. So this plan that the NDP is proposing is actually just they're putting in place the funding. They haven't put in place what the specifics of the program will be. So I think that it'll be important for the provinces to consult with parents on what their needs really are when they're designing the mix of childcare options that they're going to put in place. And I think that they'll need to look at what happened in Quebec. So for example, possibly putting into place in municipal and provincial governments, putting into place childcare options in low-income communities first so that the people who need it first get it first.
Right.
And the other example is to listen. We know that some parents need flexibility, as she mentioned, shift workers. Some parents only need part-time care, and other parents maybe just want drop-in respite services.
Do you think we if we had a national child care program, you would have weekend daycare, that you would have nighttime daycare, early morning daycare for the people who required those kinds of hours?
I think those are the things that parents are really going to need to talk to provinces about when we're designing this program, yes. And I think that those needs are universal. So parents want choices. That's what they've been telling us. The Canadian labor movement has been talking to parents and gathering people together to have what we call kitchen table conversations. And we've heard from hundreds of these conversations that parents really want that choice and that flexibility built into the program design.
All right. I'm asking on Twitter, how would $15 daycare change your life? And G. Doucette Campbell responded by saying, we could both work and then afford to pay for extracurriculars such as swimming lessons for our children. That's what it would mean to her family. Thanks for that tweet. So let's go to the line. Steve Brown is in West Hants, Nova Scotia. Hi, Steve.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Are you in favor of spending $5 billion for a subsidized daycare system nationally?
Absolutely.
All right. Why is this the right idea?
Well, I mean, I just as you mentioned about the last Twitter post there, very large demographic of people that I fall into where you have one person working full-time and another working part-time and looking after children part-time. My wife works in the healthcare system. She makes really good money. Unfortunately, because she works part-time, only half of the regular hours are going into a pension program. Also, you know, if you have both people working full-time, there's definitely a financial benefit to that.
So the choice was made due to childcare reasons that it should be part-time, not full-time?
Absolutely, yeah. If we didn't have kids, we would both work full-time. There's no two ways about it. And if I might make a comment, I find it interesting, as I talk to people about this kind of on the street, most people who object are of the baby boomer generation, yet if my generation was to suggest that we get rid of universal health care, they're the ones who are not going to benefit from it. So it's kind of a give and take. I'm a young and healthy person. I pay for older people who are infirm or, you know, whatever else to be looked after health care-wise. The reciprocation of that is that my children should be able to go to a universal child care program so that we all have some advantage to the taxes that we pay, I guess.
All right. Thanks for that. Steve, Andrea, let me ask you about that. You know, the baby boomer generation is the biggest bulge of voters we have, and they do tend to vote. Do you think that older Canadians would want to invest in child care since it's long past an issue in their own household?
I don't know if I see it the same way as the caller does. Certainly the baby boom would not have that vested interest, but perhaps they don't have an interest on some of the principles that I've described, that it's not fair that higher income people access it more than lower income people. Steve, as the caller just now said, his wife makes really great money. So here we have a case of somebody who is, as per their own example or description, saying they make great money, and then that feeds into the idea that we saw in Quebec where higher income people were having greater access to the system than lower income.
Can you explain why that is? Why is it that higher income people had more access in Quebec?
I think in part it's just due to some of the inequities existing that if you're new to the country or to the province in Quebec, perhaps you don't have as much facility in the system. Perhaps it has to do with some existing inequities there that lower income or new people who are making less than aren't able to, you know, they don't know Canada as well. I'm just guessing here. There's a lot of reasons we can think of. But the other reality is that a national daycare program is essentially a perk for the middle class because it is precisely for a family where two people are working full time and making really great money. So to play it up as something that helps those who are making less money is a little bit disingenuous. Back to the baby boom, though, we do have a demographic problem on our hands in Canada insofar as there are far more seniors than there are young people. So the building of a major institution, a childcare system, is not perhaps well-timed from the standpoint of looking at the needs of the population, the aging population, and figuring out, again, knowing that money does not grow on trees, but how to spend the limited funds that we do have and seeing the population as it ages and knowing that I think within 10 years, Statistics Canada tells us we'll have more people over the age of 65 than young people under the age of 14.
So spend the money, you say, where the numbers are.
Well, it's also compassionate to consider the needs of those who are aging, who have paid their taxes over the life course, and we know we have a palliative care crisis. Healthcare for elderly people generally grows in cost. So, you know, Canada is facing an interesting demographic situation. There's a lot of different factors to look at when we consider the ever-growing costs of something like national daycare.
All right. Let's take another caller. Kurt Fulkins is on the line from Dorchester. Hi, Kurt. Thanks for the call.
Hi.
Hi. Where do you stand on the issue of national daycare?
I would like some help maybe for the people that decide to stay home with their children some more because they share in the responsibility of raising their children, and maybe that's more of a better thing than sending your kids to have someone else look after them.
So if there was a national child care program, you would feel left out, that there was not support.
Yeah, and maybe my wife would feel pressured that she would have to go that because she's paying for it anyway.
Angela, what do you say to that? I mean, that is an argument you hear from families who choose to look after their children at home.
Sure. My position on that is that we have a variety of programs in place to help families in Canada today. So we have the universal child care benefit, which is $100 a month for each child under six. We also have child tax benefits. And so I took the time to calculate what that might mean for a sample family.
Okay.
Let's say that we have a family where one parent works and the other parent's staying home. The working parent is earning the median income for a single income family in Nova Scotia, which is around $30,000 a year. So that family, and that family has two kids under six, let's say. So they get $200 a month, $100 for each child, and then the child tax benefit is an additional $550 a month on top of that. So that's almost $9,000 a year that we give to parents who do choose to stay home with their kids.
So if you had a national child care program, would you keep that in place?
And absolutely.
So, but then yes. People who access national child care would also get all of the things you just mentioned.
No, because this is means tested. So the more income you make, the less you get of the child care benefit. And the more income your family has, the less you get of that child care benefit, that tax benefit. And the $100 a month is taxable income. So if you're already earning money, that income gets taxed. So the higher benefit, the much higher benefit there goes to low-income Canadians. But the other issue is that about 16% of parents are single parents. And for them, childcare really isn't an option. It's something that they absolutely need. It's a reality. And lots of women who are single mothers earn not that much money. And so what we found in Quebec is that the number of single parents accessing social assistance dropped in half over the first 10 years of the program.
People going back to work. Okay.
Exactly. But also the information that Andrea is citing is a little bit out of date. By 2009, the proportion of parents accessing care across the income spectrum had evened out.
Okay. We are asking today how you feel about a national child care program. How would $15 a day daycare change your life? 1-800-565-1940 is our toll-free number in Halifax, 902-420-9336. More of your calls in a moment. Our guests today are Andrea Mrozek from the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada and Angela McEwen with the Canadian Labour Congress. And we're asking today, are you willing to pay for a national child care program? 1-800-565-1940 or 902-420-9336. David Ballam-Hofke is in Halifax. Hi, David.
Hi there. How are you?
Good. Where do you stand on this?
Oh, I am completely in support of the national daycare system.
All right. What's the reason for you?
Well, first of all, I should tell you I have no children of my own. But I believe that children are our future, and that if we don't invest in them, then we have no future. It's extremely important to invest in children, young families, and education. And if we don't, if some of us take a very parochial attitude and say, well, I don't have children in school, therefore I shouldn't have to pay for those expenses, that's a very narrow-sighted perspective, in my opinion. We have to look at the big picture and say what is good for the society of Canada and what is good for us. What is good for children is good for us.
All right. Are you saying that the presence in daycare is good for children, or that it's good for the family to free up this money? Which do you think is the advantage?
It's good for society. Both of what you said. It's good for children. Daycare is wonderful for children. I'm a retired primary school teacher, by the way, and so I have a lot of experience with young children, and I know childcare is an extremely important issue for Canadian families. And without adequate low-cost daycare for families, people cannot flourish. And we need to help them. We need to help them. I feel very strongly about that. I'm not sure if I'm making it clear or not, but I feel very, very strongly about that.
All right. Let me ask Andrea about this. Is there hard evidence that children who attend daycare have better outcomes in life?
Yeah, I thank the caller for pointing out that we do want really good early learning programs for children. We want children. I would agree with him in the broad strokes. The question is how we get to that. And some children thrive in daycare. I would highlight also that a 2-year-old, 3-year-old, 4-year-old is not the same as a 6-year-old, 7-year-old, or older. So daycare. Studies are quite mixed when we look at the benefits for the youngest little people in care. We have also some, I would say, evidence to show great concern for too much time spent in what I'll call institutional daycare at a young age. So any benefits that would accrue over the long haul to society from daycare would have to be the result of a perfect daycare program. And what we see is that perfection is very difficult to achieve. As a result, the studies are quite mixed when we look at the outcomes for children in care. This really is more about employment, I would suggest to the listeners, than it is about care for children. So again, the institutional type of settings don't show by a long shot that they're all good for kids. And that's a concern when we think about the number of children that would go into care as the result of a national daycare program, just because it's subsidized and cheaper than other options at that point.
Okay.
I might also add that, one child in a family could be really doing super in care. And then the second child will have something of perhaps a on the autism spectrum or what have you, and need some different kinds of attention and perhaps more parental attention. What you've done when you create a national daycare program is you've, I think, put that family in a situation where it is very difficult to adapt to the needs of that second child, even understanding that the first child is thriving in care. So the flexibility is absent then. It's less easy to be responsive. It's more difficult to be responsive to the unique situation of the child in front of you.
Okay. Rahini Banerjee is in Halifax with a comment. Hi there.
Hi.
Thanks for the call.
Yeah, this is an interesting conversation. I'm actually teaching an intro to women and gender studies class at St. Mary's, and this conversation has come up in terms of a gendered issue. And my students have been really interested in sort of looking at how a better childcare plan would actually increase the status of women, not only in the workplace, but actually at home. And that really we would be allowing our children, consequently, to see more mothers employed and really have, in the long run, a much more positive outcome. So it's interesting, the conversation about whether some kids thrive and others don't. I mean, that's really family per family, but I think the overall picture is that the status of women does increase, and we know that when women's status increases, we have just a better society.
Interesting point. Angela, do you want to comment on that? Would a national daycare program address what Rahini is saying, but also possibly address some of the wage gap and equity issues that women face?
Absolutely. So the caller earlier mentioned that his wife is working part-time. There's about 500,000 Canadian women who are working part-time in order to accommodate their childcare responsibilities. So that's definitely an issue, and that's what we saw in Quebec. Those women were able to go back full-time to the jobs that they loved doing and know that their children were in safe care. I wanted to address Andrea's point about quality. I totally agree with her. This is what we're hearing. The Canadian Labour Congress is hearing from our members that quality is really important. And we know that most kids do better in smaller, not-for-profit childcare centres. A lot of the problem in Quebec has been in these too large, profit-oriented childcare institutional type daycare settings. Mm-hmm. We support the smaller not-for-profit childcare providers. And in terms of the high needs kids, BC has a childcare advocacy group that has outlined kind of what they would like to see in a childcare program. And what they've chosen to do is allocate double the resources to about 10% of spaces in order to meet the needs of high needs kids, whether it's autism spectrum or some kind of extra medical attention that they need.
So these are the kinds of details that you feel could be worked out if Canada decided to invest in a program like this.
Absolutely.
Okay, let's get to Dory Lynn Griffin, who's in Fredericton. Hello there.
Hi there.
What's your opinion on this? Should we have a national child care program?
I would have to say that I am passionately opposed.
Why so?
Passionately opposed. Well, number one, I am a firm believer in the fact that the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. And I just feel that if we're going to be having children, then that is our priority. And I would rather live in a very poor family and raise my children myself, with their needs being met as a mother who loves them like no one else can and who understands them like no one else can.
But Dory Lynn, would that take away your choice? If there's a national child care program, you could still make the decision to raise your children at home.
It's true, but I feel that it's making it available to parents that would, and it would kind of compromise their decision-making process.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I really feel that if we just look back over the years where mothers were at home with their children, and now mothers are working, and if it's made more available for mothers to work, I just feel like it's just cheapening our children's fundamental growth. Raising our children by the state, it just has such an ominous sound to it.
Okay. All right. Let me ask Andrea about this. Not being able to work because you can't afford childcare also can mean poverty for some families. And how does that support families and make, you know, when you look at it from that perspective?
Well, there's a lot of assumptions in that. That would be that something like national daycare actually brings people up out of poverty. I'm not sure I accept that. The incentives are strongly then put in place with the national daycare that, you know, just to jump back to something that Angela said, that women who love their jobs are able to go back to work. Well, that's a major assumption. There could be women who feel they must go back to work to jobs they may not love at a time when children are small and couldn't use the attention of a father or a mother. I don't think that it has to be the mother staying home, but for a short period of time at the very early stages of life, children demand a lot of attention. And at the end of life, very few people go on their deathbed declare that they wanted to spend more time in the office. So what we have here, I think, is a coercive measure that forces people back into the workforce without putting money into their pockets, and tells them that is the right choice to make, when we know that the vast majority of Canadians think that it is best for children under six to be raised by their own parents, as contrasted with even the most competent of caregivers. So it's something that we can do better, I think, and more equitably. If poverty is the problem, to return to your question, then why not look at money in parents' pockets, and then they can decide what kind of care they would like. And that's truly a non-coercive choice then at that point.
Angela, you want to respond to that? The notion that a national daycare program is coercive?
Well, right now, the current demand for childcare far outstrips supply. So parents are on really long wait lists. Sometimes they have to tell employers that they can't start work after they've taken a maternity leave or a parental leave because they haven't found childcare services. So the reality is, I do agree with Andrea. Many parents do wish that they could be at home with their child, or that their child could be with another close family member, and that is ideal. But that's just not the reality for most Canadian parents. About 3/4 of mothers whose youngest child is between 3 and 5 are already working. So mothers are already making that choice to return to the labor force, whether out of economic necessity or because they want to. And I think that a national child care program where we're introducing high quality, universal access, so all kids get the same start in life, that's not coercive. That's just providing an option for parents who are expressing that need right now.
All right. Troy Blair is our next caller in Halifax. Hello, Troy.
Hi there.
How do you see this?
I'm actually, I'm sort of a fan of the whole concept of the daycare, subsidized daycare, whatever the national daycare thing is, but I'd be very interested to find out what impact a national daycare program would have on domestic population growth. Just because I know my wife and I, we have 2 children in daycare now, which we feel is absolutely wonderful for them, and it's a great experience and stuff. But I'd be really interested to find out. I mean, I'd have another kid for sure. I could tell you right now, definitively, I'd have another child right now if we could afford to put another kid through the daycare system, which now we really can't. And so, how many of me is there out there in the across the country that are only having one, only having 2 children because of the astronomical cost of the daycare system the
because
way it is?
You can't afford it. Well, maybe, is there anything we can learn from Quebec on that front? Was there a population explosion, Angela, in Quebec after, you know, cheap daycare came in?
I mean, I think Quebec already had a higher
ratio,
but there was an increase in the number of children. It's hard to make attributions there, but there was an increase in population. And in European countries where there is universal child care, part of the reason to do that and to support families is to do that. And it makes economic sense. So a caller before and Andrea were both talking about demographics and the baby boomers. So first of all, baby boomers very often do have a stake in this because they're grandparents and they're working less or juggling things to help their kids look after their grandkids.
Let me ask Andrea this, the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada, of course, everyone wants people to have more children, and I know that your organization does as well, but you heard Troy argue, if I had national daycare, then perhaps we would.
Well, we have a problem on our hands just looking at Europe. Every Western nation sits below replacement. Some of us are well below replacement, and others are just a little bit below replacement. So 2.1 children per woman is replacement fertility rate, and all Western nations are below that, as I just said, either a lot or a little. And the problem is that to tease up the fertility rate is extraordinarily difficult to do. I don't think we have much evidence that any type of family benefit, whether the kind that I'm arguing for or whether the kind that Angela is arguing for, actually achieves that. So it's a tricky thing for a country to consider. Canada's not alone in that regard, but we definitely in Quebec, you know, they had a higher fertility rate to begin with, and they did see a little bit more after their provincial daycare program, but still below replacement. So, you know, we're just not having that many kids, and that's a subject for another radio show for you, I think, to look at why.
No kidding. All right, Angie Petey is calling us from Kingston, Nova Scotia. Hi, Angie.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks. Would you like to see a national child care program?
I think a national child care program will be hugely beneficial to Canadians. I disagree with one of your ladies who said that it wouldn't eradicate poverty, because I think it would absolutely at ground level help with poverty issues. It would give women the choice if they choose to go back to the workforce. Also, a couple of things I noticed. I also agree with what one of the ladies said earlier, too, that it would be great if there would be something in place for women who wanted to stay home, and not just women, but men. I think we're forgetting about men in this picture. Men play a huge role in child care as well, and I think it gives parents an option if they choose to stay home. And women who are single parents or fathers who are single parents, it gives them the choice to be able to go back to work. And I think there's a big skew here, Amber, you guys are talking about in Quebec, how it's kind of the middle-income families that are going. Well, I think there's a lot of reasons that we need to look at that. There's a lot of poverty sectors that are getting missed because they don't have the access that the middle-class people have. So maybe there needs to be there's access issues there. And one more point I'd like to make is you talked about the $100 that we get if you have a child under six. And that's a real joke because that gets added onto your income. So it actually puts you in a higher income racket. So I find that that's kind of a joke for a lot of parents.
Not parents helping.
Need it. It's not enough. And the parents who don't need it get it and they don't want it. So it's kind of a two-tier thing.
All right, Angie, thank you so much. And I want to thank both of our guests today. There's a problem with timing for Andrea, so we have to wrap our discussion here. Thank you both for making time for us. It's definitely going to be a debate that we'll be hearing a lot about in the next year as we lead up to a federal election campaign. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Angela McEwen is a senior economist with the Canadian Labour Congress. Andrea Mrozek is with the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada.